If you're speaking to the sports fan that listens to our show, those are the people that are going to the games that do care.
It's embarrassing.
Who would you replace him with?
That's over my pay grade.
Well, okay. So is firing him, but you didn't have any hesitation with that.
Steve carries himself with a lot of dignity, truth. Thank you for everything.
He doesn't take days off. He's one of those guys that he's out there every game.
There's a new type of broom out. It's sweeping the nation.
Are you Googling this?
Protect our radio talent.
You two are ridiculous.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Alongside Pauly Sebelia, I'm Stephen Fonte. We welcome you into a Monday edition of Orange Nation. We've got two guests lined up for you, both in hour number two. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll be joined by SU alum Jeff Kirchen. He's a host on 102.7 The Coyote. He called the Celebrity All-Star Game. The game was held last night. It's actually going to air tonight after the Home Run Derby. He called the game with his father, Tim Kirchen. So he'll join us coming up at 1 o'clock. And then at 1:30, we're going to talk some basketball. We're not talking Bay Arms Army today. We're talking Syracuse Stallions, as they are off to the Final Four of the TBL. Game two set for Friday, by the way, at Bishop Grimes. So Nick Perioli, the head coach of the Stallions, set to join us at 1:30. But we are wide open here in hour number one. If you'd like to check in at 315-437-7644. How are you, Pauly?
I'm doing great. Jeff Kirchen works at the Coyote. I feel like we're the only sports radio station that, in the country, that doesn't have like a nickname, like the Fan, the Coyote.
You want to change that?
Yeah.
Don't you have some say in the matter?
Yeah, I probably could come up with something. Beast mode. 97.7 beast mode.
I don't like it.
No?
No. It's gotta have something to do with Syracuse. Gotta have something to do with the orange.
Oh, I guess I kind of limit you if it's got to be something orange.
I don't know, does
the
it?
The fruit? That doesn't sound very mean. I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, you don't have to come up with it on the spot. You can think about this. I'm sure you guys, you know, you can have a meeting here. People can offer up suggestions. A lot happened this weekend. What was the most interesting thing sports-wise that you digested this weekend?
Oh, so much happened.
There was a lot.
That soccer thing happened.
I take it that's not at the top of your list?
No, it's probably high up there, that soccer thing.
You watched none of it, did you?
I saw the highlights. It was important to people across the ocean.
Yeah.
They cared a lot about that.
My son is a big soccer fan. Yesterday was his 15th birthday. We watched. I enjoy watching soccer. You know, both my kids have turned me into a soccer fan. I hate PKs. I hate penalty kicks to decide something of importance. We were just listening to Mike Greenberg before we came on. He is spot on. There has to be a better way to determine a champion other than that. Because there really isn't another sport out there where they change the game to determine the outcome if it goes, you know, overtime or extra innings. I know you brought up putting the man on second. That's for the regular season, though. That's over the course of 162 games to kind of speed up the process. You know, and they instituted it during, you know, the COVID times, and who knows if that's here to stay or not. I don't mind that during the regular season. I don't mind PKs if it's, you know, you need to determine a winner. And by the way, you know, we all know soccer ends in ties. They only use the PKs for a game that needs a winner. And instead of just playing and playing and playing until someone wins, like they do in the Stanley Cup, or, you know, they do that in playoff hockey. And I know, during the regular season, they'll speed it up. They'll play in overtime, less guys on the ice. They'll go to a shootout to determine a winner so that there's points in the standings, so on and so forth. But when you get to the games that actually matter, the shootout goes away. They play the sport of hockey until someone wins. And I realize soccer can go on and on and on. There's got to be a better way than to line somebody up, you know, and have the goalie guess which way they're going to kick it. And that's how you determine, right? I mean, that's essentially what PKs is. You the goalie guesses either right or left. And if he guesses right correctly, you know, that team generally wins. And that's what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, soccer could be still playing, though.
I get it.
They could literally still be playing.
So one thing that they and again, I realize it's not the same level, but one thing they do at the youth level, is that they'll play, you know, whatever it is, 11 on 11 in youth. Sometimes it's less than that. They'll play some time in extra time. If no one scores, they'll take a guy off the field from each team. They'll play some more. If nobody scores, they'll take another guy off the field from each team. I don't know if that would necessarily work at that high of a level, but it does open up the game. We see it in hockey, right?
Yeah.
That they take a guy off the ice, it opens up the game, it creates more scoring chances. There's got to be a better way than PKs. There has to be. And I don't necessarily know what it is.
No, but they should just play until someone wins.
But to determine a champion that way, and again, you see it a lot where late in regulation and then pretty much throughout overtime. I know you didn't watch yesterday, but during the two overtimes, they play a half hour of overtimes. Neither team really took too many chances. They were just, you know, it just kind of felt like neither wanted to make a mistake. They were just kind of playing for penalty kicks. They were going to take their chances in penalty kicks. So if you play until someone wins, it would obviously motivate both sides to try and score a goal. So, I don't know. You would certainly have games that went on for a long period of time, but at least you would determine, like in that game, like if we're talking like World Cup final or yesterday, that was determining a champion. Yeah. Just play until somebody scores then. Even I don't care if it goes. Do you think the fans would have been upset if they had to sit through another hour of soccer? I mean, that was the championship game. Play until somebody scores.
But I agree with you.
It was it's tough because, you know, for every winner, there's obviously a loser. And we were talking about this before the show. And, you know, the three players who missed yesterday for England, you know, just they're subject to, racially motivated hate speech. It's just it's disgusting. And it's unfortunate that they have to live through that. And I don't know. It's, again, for every winner, there's a loser. And I feel bad for England. I feel bad for those guys who missed their PKs because, there's so much pressure in that situation. You know, being the dad of two kids who play soccer, I hate it when the games go to PKs. You know, my son had to take an important PK this summer for his travel team, and it's agony. You know, I mean, fortunately, he made it, but it's agony for the kids who miss and they feel like they cost their team. It's brutal. So, I don't know.
That's a good life lesson, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Couple ideas coming in from the Twitch chat, Q Sports Talk on Twitch, on what we can name our radio station. Pat thinks the Homer. And the Grove. Someone said the Grove. The Homer's funny, though. I'll play along with that. 97.7 ESPN Radio, the Homer. Go Orange.
Who came up with the Grove? That's good.
I can't find it. Did you watch the NBA? They can't catch a break. They got a series now, but the games have stunk. A lot of fouls called, at least on the Suns, anyways. And it's not been good basketball.
Yeah, I'm not surprised the Bucks bounced back. I am a little surprised on the margin of victory yesterday. But Giannis has been, I mean, he's taken his game to another level. And the fact that, what was it, 2 weeks ago, he thought his season was over. And, you know, now he's got back-to-back 40-plus games. It's awfully impressive. And he was a difference maker, no doubt about it, in that game yesterday. And they deserved to win. They were a desperate team. The season was on the line. I mean, they lose that game, it's over. They know that. They went back home. They fed off the energy of the crowd. They were helped, you know, with the officiating to some degree. And, Giannis attempted 17 free throws. The Suns as a team attempted 16. So, you know, they benefited from some calls, but they played better. They fed off the crowd. They were home. They were comfortable. And now we do have a series on our hands. But you're right. The games have not been all that compelling.
The other interesting thing is going to be if, you know, you said it on Friday, I believe, it's not a series until someone wins a road game.
Yeah, right.
So
I didn't say it on Friday because I wasn't here Friday, but I believe I said it.
Shocking.
I believe I said it on Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah. You weren't here? Man, the days just blend together. You're here so much.
They do.
You were killing it last week, though. You did 4 weeks or 4 days. I don't know how you're here today.
That's the plan again this
week. You're still standing.
That's the plan.
We got to get penalty kicks for you. You'd be exhausted after a soccer game going this length. So I'm looking at Jordan's rundown here. We've hit the basketball,
There was another basketball game that was a little eye-opening.
Go the Fighting Beneges.
Yeah. Did you watch any of that game by chance?
No. You're socially awkward if you watched that game.
Really?
I'm willing to call you out.
I watched the second half.
If you watched a USA-Nigeria exhibition game, your social life is sadder than... Wasn't that on like a Saturday night?
Well, yeah, it was on at like, I don't know. It was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I was out partying.
Oh, okay.
Hanging out.
Well, you have a more exciting life than
I do. But Michael Beneges, man, he was hitting big shots, making big passes to win that game.
So you at least saw the highlights then. Okay. Because, I watched the game. I saw that it was close at halftime. I was like, man, it's a close game. I'm going to watch. So I watched the second half. But, yeah, Beneges had a big assist, kicked it out for a three down the stretch, hit a big jump shot. And I tell you what, Nigeria, they kept making shots. Every time you're thinking, oh, this is a nice little story, like Nigeria hanging in there. And they just kept making shots.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny that, like, this is bad news for the men's USA basketball team if you're losing to Nigeria. Like, there's no painting that into a good picture. Right?
No, but I mean, again, it is an exhibition, and I wouldn't make too much of it. I mean, the Americans are still going to go.
You wouldn't. Huh?
Americans are still going to go to Tokyo and win the gold.
They can't beat Nigeria in an exhibition game. That was like losing to the Washington Generals last.
I mean, it does feel a little bit like losing to LeMoyne, but keep in mind what happened after Syracuse lost to LeMoyne.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's a little bit of a wake up call. Keep in mind too that three of their players are playing in the NBA finals right now. Now, should U.S. go out and beat Nigeria every single time? Of course they should. But am I going to put too much stock into the first exhibition game with these guys together and trying different combinations and getting... No, I don't... I'm not concerned about whether or not they're going to win the gold.
I like Michael Beneges. Did great for Syracuse. He shouldn't be able to go out and work.
I mean, there's a lot.
U.S. Olympic team.
they've got pros on that team. I mean, they're not pros to the level of Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard, but I mean, they've got pros on that team. And I think to be honest with you, I think that game was more about Nigeria than it was about the U.S. Now, again, they should go out and they should win every time they play them. But you know, am I going to panic that they're not going to go to Tokyo and win the gold? No, it's game one of five exhibitions, and then. They don't even have their whole team right now. So I wouldn't worry.
Well, I hope they get it together. If I had to pick a person to win a gold medal, not from the U.S., though, Michael Beneges would be top of the list.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't name one player on any other team. So there you go.
So that's why.
Yes, he wins by default.
We got to get him on the show.
Yeah, You also wonder, like, it just shows you, like, a guy like that can go out and play that level. It just shows you how hard it is to break into the NBA.
Right.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the kid was a forward, moved to point guard, hung around in the G League. You know, man, you got to be really good and just catch a lot of breaks to make it.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, you definitely have to be really good, but there, to your point, there are a lot of really good players
right. That
don't get the opportunity, or you know, they get a sniff and the opportunity passes them by. But what a win for Nigeria! I mean, it was a fun game to watch because obviously what it meant, you know, it's just an exhibition game, but no team from Africa had ever beaten the U.S. before, and they were the first to do it.
It also goes to the guys that sit on their couches with the Cheetos on their fingers, saying that he left too early. Yeah, he left too early to go play like in a different country and make millions of dollars.
Right.
He's still among the best players in the world, like legit good. If you play Division I basketball, you're at a level that nobody can compete with, basically. And it shows you also that basketball is equaling out around the world.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, we've seen that over time.
I would like to ask our degenerate producer if there was betting odds on an exhibition Nigeria-US Olympic game.
I did see a line after the fact. It was in the 20s. I want to say U.S. was favored by like 25.
Wow.
I forget what the exact number was. But, yeah, it was a second upset. I mean, Kevin Durant's played in 39 international games. He had never lost before until this. So, no, this was a sizable upset. There's no doubt about it. But they'll learn from this. They play tonight. They've got Australia tonight.
I don't mean to brag, but I took Nigeria.
To cover? You didn't expect them to win. Now, if you picked the money line.
I picked the money line.
You would have made a nice chunk of change.
I wouldn't even know they were playing if Michael Benajee wasn't playing and it was on the Syracuse.com website.
But apparently I have no life because I watched the second half. So
yeah, I did say people are socially awkward if you watch things. Like, wasn't there anything else on?
Apparently not.
Like people in the Twitch chat are saying, if anybody knows socially awkward, it's Paulie. So yeah, I guess I'm right.
Was it all the days run together? It was the same night the ESPYs were on, I think.
Oh yeah, those are. Why don't they have the ESPYs on the day after the All-Star game?
They used to.
I thought so.
Yeah, they used to. It was the Wednesday. It was the night after the All-Star game was always on a Tuesday. It was usually the night after because there's nothing going on. Why they put it on the weekend this year, I don't know.
So I also, the next NBA game is tomorrow or Wednesday?
I believe it's Wednesday.
Okay, good. I was going to be ticked off if they put it on the same night
as the All-Star game. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Good. As if that's all the NBA players need is another day of rest.
Yeah, Wednesday, Saturday, and then next Tuesday would be a game 7 if they need it. So it's spaced out from here on out.
Pat coming through huge, 28.5 point.
Is that what it was? Okay. Yeah, I knew it. I saw it was in the 20s, so there you go. Yeah, that's a sizable upset.
Man, that's like Syracuse beating Ohio in football.
We got to take a timeout. 315-437-7644. Okay. Phone lines open here. All of hour number
one. I'm going to end up in one of their hype videos. I'm just trying to say thanks now to end up in one of their hype videos prior to.
All right. At least we know the motivation behind it. On 97.7 The Homer. We're back after this.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Monday edition of Orange Nation. Opening up the show talking about what was a big weekend in sports. We'll get into Major League Baseball here in a moment. All-Star game, of course, tomorrow. Yankees blew another lead yesterday. We'll get to that in the next segment. But we continue the show talking some SU football and some recruiting news from over the weekend as Syracuse lands a 3-star defensive lineman out of New Jersey by the name of Quayere Price. Syracuse beat out the likes of West Virginia, BC, Maryland, Pitt, Rutgers, and Indiana. He is the 8th commitment in next year's class. 7 of those guys considered on the defensive side of the football. Your thoughts, Paulie, when you heard that Quayere Price had committed to Syracuse?
It's good. They landed a guy, but he's the highest one that they've landed so far, and he's a 3-star, according to 247. I don't know if we're supposed to be excited about this. They beat the bottom of the Power 5 out for this guy. West Virginia is better than bottom of the Power 5, but they beat West Virginia, BC, Maryland, Pitt, Rutgers, Indiana.
Indiana was last year better than bottom of the Power 5.
Indiana is a bad football program.
Not last year.
Overall, it's a bad football
program.
This is a good win for Syracuse. They did not beat out Toledo and Kent State.
Right. And that was the joke when Greg Robinson was here.
I mean, that joke's been around for a lot of coaches.
Yeah, that's true.
This one included.
That's true.
But they did beat out Power 5 schools. I just don't see the point of getting excited over a 3-star. Like, if they're getting the guys they want, that's awesome. You know? Let's get a quarterback. There's glaring needs on this team. Let's get a quarterback and let's get some offensive linemen.
I do think there is something to be said for, and you're not wrong with what you're saying. I'm just going to throw this out there. There is something to be said for, even though you're talking about programs that are in a similar boat as you right now as a program, you know, as it pertains to the rest of the Power 5, the BCs, the, you know, the Pitts, the Rutgerses of the world. The fact that those are, whether you like it or not, those are your recruiting rivals right now.
Well, yeah.
I think there's something to be said for getting a win – this over
yeah,
those
these,
schools.
This is the baby steps you need to take to get better.
Right.
Like, they've got to continue to beat Rutgers, Pitt, and BC, especially in the recruiting game.
Mike McAllister pointed this out with his post, and I think it's worth mentioning. You know, the fact that he was a New Jersey guy, is a New Jersey guy, and that Rutgers had targeted him and made him, you know, a priority. The fact that Rutgers couldn't keep this guy home and Syracuse was able to take him away from Jersey. Again, whether or not Rutgers is truly a rival, and, you know, we don't think they're a very good football program, but as you just said, you have to start somewhere, right? Yeah, this is baby steps toward moving back in the right direction.
The other thing is, football-wise, if you land a recruit out of New York, New Jersey, and basketball, odds are he's playing at good high school. New York and New Jersey football stinks in high school. Like, I get you get the best player out of here if you can.
You would rather take a kid from Texas or Florida.
Yes. Yeah. Landing kids because they're in your state is a silly way to recruit. You go out and get the best players.
But I mean, there's talent here and there.
Yeah, but you got to get
everywhere,
the top.
Really. Yeah. I understand. I know where you're coming from.
There's always been this argument, like, why don't we get the players from New York? Because New York football in high school, no one cares about it.
Right, but there
Pennsylvania
are,
on the other, they've got good high school.
There are certainly examples, though, of guys that slip through the cracks, and you wish, you know, you had kept them here. And there are different reasons for why guys go different places. But you know, even going back to like Mike Hart and Latavius Murray and Tyvon Branch and you know, and Jolon Dunbar, you know, on down the list, you wish you could keep those guys were special,
yes, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and you were unable to keep those guys. But everybody goes different places for different reasons. So I hear what you're saying. You know how I feel about football recruiting, especially because a lot of times, you know, we may not see this young man on the field until, you know, the fall of 2023 or 2024, you know, the way that the guys redshirt these days, who knows? But all we have to go on right now is they pick Syracuse over who and the recruiting services, right? And recruiting services have been wrong before, but he's a 3-star. They got him over.
They beat Power 5 schools.
I mentioned the list: BC, Indiana, Pitt, Rutgers, West Virginia, among others. It's a solid pickup. Is it a program changer? Probably not, but it's a solid
pickup. We did this last week, and they had they saying this is the highest rated kid they landed. Didn't they land a kid that they just out recruited a big kid last? I felt like we were talking last week.
I don't think he was a 4-star, though.
But I felt like they out-recruited some major SEC schools for a kid last week. But it's a good sign. It's a good sign. But sadly, no matter what they get in recruiting this year, you know, who's going to be their coach is dependent on
how things
you
go
do from a 1-10 season.
The next season or two are very big, obviously, yeah. For this program. All right, we got to take another timeout. Phone lines remain open. 315-437-7644. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Fonte, Paulie Sibilia back with you here on a Monday edition of Orange Nation. We got Nick Perioli set to join us from the Syracuse Stallions coming up in about 10 minutes from now. But we bring in our producer, Jordan, to recap the weekend from a sound perspective. Yes, Jordan?
That's what I'll do.
All right. So have at it.
The key is I play the sound so I can't make it myself and have it be incorrect. That's how I work this segment in. Before we get to the balderdash, I want to start with something that's not balderdash, and that was this absolutely insane weekend that the Yankees had. Two games, it was a tale of two games. They won the first one, and John Sterling said it was their best win of the season, but it all started with a little visit to the mounds that didn't go as expected.
Now, here comes Aaron Boone.
Really?
The Yankees are meeting Amos on the mound. The ball was in the dirt. Higgy made a great backhand stop.
Could you cut the 30 seconds of crowd noise for us?
Now when Susan's muttering, oh, God, under
126th pitch with the strikeout. Oh
boy, is Cole giving it to him.
Oh.
He, Cole, was vociferous, shaking his head, saying, I'm going to finish it. Get out of here. I love it.
I love, get off my mound. That's exactly what he did, and screaming.
Good for him.
Vociferous.
And it worked.
Yeah. Yankee fans are bipolar, by the way. Like, it's the end of the world one day, and then the next day, it's everything's great. Like, Garrett Cole is now the great, like, our producer Tommy tweeted out, like, this was it. Yeah, things are all better for Garrett Cole. Like, he's going to, you know.
I feel attacked today. The fact that he told me I had no life because I watched the second half of USA Nigeria. Now he's telling me that I'm bipolar because I'm a Yankee fan. I feel attacked today.
It's insane, though. Baseball's 162 games. You can't just jump on everything that happens. And this is the best and this is the worst.
It's fine, though, because as Tommy Hogan also tweeted out, the Yankees blew that lead the next night, blew a massive 7-2 lead, and then Tommy Hogan tweeted out about how good the Euros were,
which I knew was garbage because Tommy Hogan was nothing. The tying runs are on first and third with one man out. So those are the tying runs, and Altuve is the winning run. Now Green's pitch is swung on and a high fly to left field, and it is gone for a game-winning three-run home run. Unbelievable. Now the Yankees had a 7-2 lead going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and Altuve just did a three-run home run. The Astros score six runs. They beat the Yankees 8-7 on a day when Boston and Tampa lost. Well, you know what I can say? Hey, this is great. And they rip off Altuve's shirt to show he doesn't have a buzzer on. I can say this. Yesterday was the greatest win of the year. Today, the greatest loss of the year.
Yeah. He's just feeding it. He's feeding the crazy fans with it. You don't know that. Wait till the season's over to decide what's the greatest win and greatest loss of the year.
Would it be greatest loss or worst loss?
I don't know.
They're going to be hard-pressed to find a worse loss than that.
I was trying to come up with a Sterlingism for Altuve, but there's nothing I could come up with.
You're stumped. That's the first I've seen.
Nothing rhymes with Altuve.
Hey, you got hey. You can work hey, hey, Altuve, and I don't know. That's awful.
All right.
Was that not kind of like the epitome of the first half of the year, though, for the Yankees?
Was that worse than the loss to the Angels? Like, the Astros are at least team.
I think you throw on top of everything else the fact that, the trolling of Altuve, Judge did it Saturday, you know, kind of shaking his jersey as he rounded third. Then Sanchez was all in on that on Sunday. And then for Altuve to come up with the game on the line and then to do that. Yes, I think that was worse. Go ahead. Pauly, you don't have to raise your hand. What?
I just wanted to, because I want to throw a crowbar into Jordan Singh. There's something on here that I am very interested in because I did not even know the ESPYs happened. And one of my favorite targets apparently was hit in this. You want to do that one? Because I want to hear this
one. He was indeed. Yeah, I knew this is the part of the ESPYs you'd actually care about. Because last time
I happened to be watching live when this happened, by the way. Go ahead. Because I have no life. Because I have no life. So hey, I happen to see it live.
You think you have no life. We opened the show with the QCs a couple months back, thanks to me. So, but yeah, no, Ben Simmons, he's still not done being roasted. And this was crazy, even for the ESPYs.
Ben Simmons took home a special ESPY for his humanitarian work. Yes. Not everyone knows this, but Ben Simmons has been building orphanages like this one completely out of his playoff bricks. What do you like to say, little ladies?
Thanks, Ben Simmons!
They brought two little kids on the stage. They're showing pictures of, like, you know, half-built buildings.
Was Ben Simmons in the crowd?
I didn't see that.
He was probably hanging out with a Jenner or a Kardashian. Well,
one
and
of my
free throws.
Favorite comedians is Norm Macdonald, and he hosted the ESPYs one year. And just let's put it this way: he will never host.
Just annihilated
the ESPYs again. It was so uncomfortable the roasting he did. Like, inappropriate, uncomfortable, so awkward. It was awesome.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, Jordan. One more.
Oh, I didn't know I had more time. Let's do one more. It's something that I wanted to get to from over the weekend. Highly anticipated fight, McGregor-Poirier. I can't show you any video, so anybody who's squeamish, you should be happy about that, because Conor McGregor broke his leg, lost the fight, got out of surgery this morning, and went on Instagram.
It was a hell of a first round. It would have been nice to get into that second round and then, you know, to see what's what, but it is what it is. That's the nature of the business, a clean break of the tibia, and it was not to be. You know, Dustin, you can celebrate that illegitimate win all you want, but you've done nothing in there. That second round would have shown all. And, you know, onwards and upwards we go, team. We dust ourselves off, we build ourselves back, and we come back better than ever. Let's go, team.
What I want to know, McGregor is a hype man in every sense of the word, but do we believe he thinks that win is illegitimate, or is he just trying to get this fourth fight locked in, another payday, and who cares if he wins or loses?
I mean, he was screaming that from the canvas, right?
Oh, he was screaming a lot of things from the canvas.
Yeah,
your wife is in
the
DMs.
I heard that.
Not a popular guy.
But he kept saying, like, you know, ref's decision or something. He just kept saying that over and over again. I don't know if he believes that, but yeah, of course, I think he wants another payday.
That's what I want to know. Do you think it's Balder Dash, or do you think he actually believes that it was illegitimate? Because there's controversy. Poirier says it was from a checked leg kick. McGregor says it was a freak accident.
Right. I believe that Conor McGregor thinks that he didn't lose? Yeah, I do. I do, because I think that's just the way he is, right?
Can we talk about a guy breaking his leg and just doing interviews?
Joe Rogan sitting next to
him. He did an interview on the canvas.
I couldn't do it. I would be a mess. Like, I broke my arm and I couldn't talk. Like, I was in shock.
Yeah, right.
Like, no way could I break my leg and just sit there that composed.
During Poirier's interview, because he won, McGregor was yelling, "Watch what you say," as the doctor's checking his leg.
Like
what
are
you going to do? Get up and
stop
him.
How are you not
in
pain?
Like, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a man.
He's not human.
Okay.
Yes, that's a man right there.
But I don't know.
He may be an idiot, but he's a man.
I was just going to say, you say that
those
like
those two things are not mutually exclusive at all.
Yeah, no, you're probably, the more pain you can take, probably the bigger idiot you are in life, right?
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Jordan. The fact that you just let somebody punch you as hard as they could. I don't know as if we should look up to Conor McGregor, so I think let's stop short of that, but... he's a character, and that's why people like to, you know, that's why people shell out, what was it, $50, or I don't even know.
No, he's doing that stupid walk without even meaning to. His leg's broken. He's just dragging it behind him.
All right, let's not keep our guests waiting. We're going to take a timeout here. Nick Perioli from the Syracuse Stallions joins us on the other side. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.